Well, happy St. Dunstan's Day. Happy Pentecost. It's wonderful to celebrate this today with you. And so our service, of course, is at this unusual time of 9:30. So we may have people start to arrive now for our 10. A few more. And if they do, be very nice to them, because you know what? I forgot our service was at 9:30 until late last night. It occurred to me again. Wait a minute. It's 9:30. So we can all forget these things. Anyway, it's good to be with you. It is a day to celebrate, I think, our mission, our ministry. We have this part of God's, you know, little corner in the world here at St. Dunstan's. But I think it's also a day that calls us to think beyond ourselves into a sense of unity in Christ with all of our brothers and sisters in the faith, right, throughout the world. Think right now of all the people that have gathered this day in different time zones all over the world to worship God with us in unity. Think of all the people that have gathered to worship God throughout all these years going back to Jesus. I mean, it is incredible to think about. And we are actually one with them, according to Jesus. When I was a chaplain, I led an ecumenical campus ministry group for a small liberal arts college in Arkansas. And the students and I thought a lot, they had a leadership team there, and we thought a lot about our group's theme for the beginning of the year. And they told me, as this intern chaplain, they said, you know, we've had a lot of factions and fighting between the religious groups for the last couple years. And so we want to do something about it. And so we made the whole year, our theme was unity and diversity. And it was to really remind us that we are one, right, as people of faith, despite coming from different theological and religious backgrounds, different denominations. I mean, we really had a broad, and I mean really broad, group of kids. I shouldn't say kids, young adults, in this group, representing churches from the most, you know, opposite on the spectrum type of churches. And so I noticed that when we came together to worship, or when we came together to serve, we were involved in multiple building projects, like with Habitat for Humanity, we all started to notice it didn't matter what our background was. It mattered that we were seeking God's will for our lives together. We felt like we were one. And it was a wonderful, beautiful experience for us. And I think a very deep sense of community started to develop. And the memories of that experience, still inspire me. Like, this is possible. We did it. I saw it. A similar thing happened when I was serving as a missionary in Chiang Mai, Thailand, as a young adult. And at that time, there was, you know, a handful of Americans in that area. And so we all got together in one church of all these diverse backgrounds. Again, very diverse, as you can imagine. And yet you'd never know that we all came from different churches or denominations when we stood side by side and sang hymns and read scripture and took communion. I remember helping teach Sunday school with the children, and everybody had the same lessons each week from the Bible. We were very much aware that as soon as we went back home, or if we were in the States, we'd all be in totally different churches, right? But in Chiang Mai, we were one. We were one body in Christ, from non-denominational to Baptist to Presbyterian to Pentecostal to Lutheran to Episcopalian. These experiences formed me and gave me a sense of hope and the belief that what separates us is less important and even maybe less interesting than what unites us and unifies us in Christ. But that hope that I carry has been severely tested for a while now, maybe a past decade or so. And I found myself wondering if the politicized religion we see throughout our nation has become so pervasive that I start wondering if those Americans who used to worship and get together in Chiang Mai, like, are they still doing that? I wonder. And has that college campus ministry I once led in Arkansas now broken off again into isolated factions, no longer able to serve and worship side by side? Maybe. I worry. So What do we make of this day? And this theme, then, this call that we heard in the collect to be one in Christ. Because it is a wonderful feast day in the church calendar, the day of Pentecost. We read about it in Acts 2, that on this day, people gathered in Jerusalem from all corners of the Roman Empire. They represented competing economic interests, diverse cultures, a myriad of languages, different religions and theological backgrounds and traditions. And nevertheless, we know what happened. God's grace and blessing and gift of the Holy Spirit was given freely to all. To all, as they heard the gospel message preached that day. The gift of tongues was bestowed upon Jesus' followers as they preached. And that gift didn't stay in an upper room, right? They went out into the streets, into the world, to spread it to everyone that could hear, in a way that people could understand the gospel in their own language. This incredible miracle today of Pentecost is the opposite of what occurred in the story of the Tower of Babel, right? Because in the Tower of Babel story, no one can understand anything when they are given these different languages. They are all speaking, and chaos and disunity erupts. But on Pentecost, it's reversed. And everyone can understand clearly what is being said, and it is resulting in unity and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So on this day, the church proclaims a message of unity in diversity. We proclaim a message of love that triumphs over hatred and thus division. Like the prophet Joel predicted, God really has poured out the Holy Spirit upon all people, no matter who we might be. Like, class doesn't matter, gender doesn't matter, age doesn't matter, status doesn't matter. We are all invited to receive this amazing gift of God. Just imagine all those immigrants and foreigners who had converged on Jerusalem that day of Pentecost, and then returning to their homes to spread the gospel message there. The church was born in incredible diversity, and it was then carried out into our incredibly diverse world. Since its inception, the church has been an intensely diverse group of people, hailing from every culture and language. And yet, that's how God chose to show up. In the midst of this great diversity, God's Spirit was poured out and changed world history forever that day, bringing strangers into fellowship and the love of God. Now, the message really hasn't changed, the heart of the message of the gospel, right? But those who claim to be Jesus' followers, sadly, have often failed to live up to this incredible message of truth. Perhaps one of the greatest temptations I think facing Christians today is to lose sight of this lesson of Pentecost. The recognition, as Paul describes, there's no Jew nor Greek, nor male nor female, nor slave nor free, no Presbyterian or Episcopalian, no Roman Catholic or non-denominational. We could add to this, right? We are all one in Christ, those who follow Jesus, and we are all promised the Holy Spirit. We get to see those fruits born in us, like love and joy and peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. So just as the Holy Spirit was poured out on all people that day in every language at Pentecost, so too the Holy Spirit is continuing to draw all of us from every culture, language, tribe, race, nation, socioeconomic status, political persuasion, gender, age, class, ethnicity, everybody, you know, the list goes on, into one family of God. And if that is actually true, which I really think it is, what does that mean for us? How do we live that out? Because people of faith who are living, we are people of faith who are living in an intensely divisive time in history. It is incredibly divisive to be here in our nation right now. And it is like that around our world. So what might we then, those of us here at St. Dunstan's and here in the wider area of San Diego, what might we do and how might we live out what Bishop Curry aptly calls this part of the Jesus movement, right? What are we called to do? How do we live into that given the reality we're facing? And what do we here at St. Dunstan's called to do? I think it's a pretty difficult task. It can feel impossible. And that task is to somehow find, by the strength of God, the will and ability to lay aside, let's start here, all vestiges of hatred, in order to choose love and forgiveness, even for those we most strongly disagree with, even for those that we can find no common ground. And that doesn't mean we don't speak truth to power, or that we aren't going to let people trample us or human rights or basic justice. No, that's not what it means. It means we have to approach all people, no matter who they are, or even what harms they may have caused, with a spirit of love, rejecting hatred. And I know it's hard because I see people in our nation, I see people in the churches all around this country choosing hatred over love every day. Those, they think, on the other side. But my friends, Jesus gave his life and sent the Holy Spirit so that we could do this impossible task of what he called loving our enemies, praying for those who curse us, and ultimately seeking unity in Christ with all followers of Jesus in as much as possible. And I believe it is possible, because love is the most persuasive thing we've got going in Christ. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live and proclaim a unity in diversity by faith, to overcome hatred and to choose love. And I pray that we here at St. Dunstan's, and as this diocese here in San Diego, and as the Episcopal Church itself, will lead the way and be a testimony to God's love in this deeply divided time in history. That is the call and reminder of Pentecost. Thanks be to God.